please, in the book of Exodus and chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, ye shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 22. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Verse 28, And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now the Lord will bless, we know, his word that we have read together with what we have listened to earlier in the meeting. And I trust the Lord will give help. I want to try and set before you this evening the story of deliverance that the nation of Israel knew from the bondage of Egypt. And what was true of the nation, groaning under the lash of the taskmaster, the toll of the bricks being increased, Pharaoh demanding for their labor absolute servitude and death if they refused to obey, illustrates so aptly the condition of every unsaved one in this world of ours and in this gospel meeting tonight. You see, friend, like these people, you're born under the sentence of death. God had told Moses that he demanded that there be provision made. And God was about to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. The word had gone out that all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Now, my friend, that's what God says about every one of us. Apart from knowing Christ as Savior, he that believeth not, God has said it, the wrath of God abideth on him. And so, friend, you are born with a death sentence, as it were, over your head. It's only a matter of time until you meet God and you know the judgment of God because of sin. And so they were told that judgment was coming. But then God said to them that this month was to be to them a beginning of months. You know, that's what happens when people get God's salvation. It's a new beginning. All things pass away and all things become new. They have new interests. They have new desires. They have new friendships. And they can sing with a hymn writer, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name." Ah, friend, tonight, I trust that ere this meeting is over, that you will be brought into this enjoyment, this realization that all is well, that I'm sheltered beneath the precious blood of Christ. But you notice what God said to Moses. They were to take every man a lamb. Now I was thinking, this is what every unsaved one in this world that knows anything about the Bible will acknowledge, that the Lord Jesus was the one that came from heaven, born into this world, born a babe in Bethlehem's stable, cradled in a manger, and that he lived about 33 and a half years. And eventually, he was nailed to a cross. The one that was God's Lamb. Everyone in the world that knows anything of Christianity would acknowledge that. But then Moses said to them again, "If the household be too little for the land. You know, this sometimes is what those that hear the gospel understand. You remember one day when John saw the Savior, he could point to him and he could say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And this is what the guilty sinner needs to understand, that the Lamb of God is their only hope. And my friend, if you would trust him as your Savior in the meeting tonight, this salvation would be yours. The Lamb of God, the one that came, the one that was provided by God, the one that Peter tells us was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world in the purposes of God. The Lamb of God was to come. But then Moses says again, there were some of them, and he said to them, "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. They were to take it out from the sheep or from the goat." So it could have been a kid or a lamb. But you see, it's only the believer that knows that this lamb is their lamb. Let me ask you, friend, tonight. Do you know this one as your Savior? The one that the lamb, the paschal lamb, pointed forward to? The Lamb of God who is going to die up on the cross for sinners. You remember Mary could say, "My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior." Oh, the Savior becomes for those who suck there. But I could mention that God says this lamb was to be without blemish. It was to be observed for those 4 days, from the 10th day to the 14th day. There was to be no flaw found in us. How it reminds us of the Lamb of God. You can describe him in the gospel. No fault found in him. Absolutely perfect. Intrinsically, internally, and externally, this one that came from heaven, the only perfect one that ever lived in this world, was the Lord Jesus. The one that John says was God's Lamb. But you notice it says the whole congregation of the children of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They were all responsible for the death of this lamb or this kid. You know, that tells me that the world is responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus. One day Peter stood up, chapter 2 of the Acts, and he says, "Ye men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Peter held the nation of Israel responsible for the death of Christ. And you know it was the Roman soldier that crucified him. The Phoenicians, the Assyrians, they devised crucifixion. A man was tied to a cross. But it was the Romans that added those cruel nails that were hammered into his hands and feet. And so God says, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. And then you notice the Spirit of God is so careful to say, they shall kill it. And not only that, it was to be killed in the evening. There were thousands of lambs that died on this night in Israel. Thousands of them. They were brought into the homes of the people. They were sheltered by the sprinkled blood. But you see, the Spirit of God is telling us that although thousands of them died, they were all pointing forward to the one who is to die at Calvary. They shall kill it. And between those two evenings, outside Jerusalem's wall, there was a lovely man that was nailed to the cross. He bore the wrath of God when he died for the sins of this world. But I want you to think, God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, he says. I am the Lord. Now they may have had that lamb. It might have been in their family, in their very home. But my friend, God said that lamb must be slain. But more than that, they were to take a bunch of hyssop, that little clump of shrubbery that was so accessible. It grew out of the walls and around their homes. And they may have had the blood in the basin. But God said they were to take that piece of hyssop and dip it into the blood, and it was to be applied to the side posts and the lintel of the upper door posts of the house. Now I know there are people in this world of ours, and they know that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us
from all sin. They know that. But my friend, knowing that, will never, never take you to heaven. You must know something as an individual of coming to the Savior and of trusting Him and of believing that that precious blood that was shed at Calvary, it was shed for your sins. I wonder, friend, have you ever understood that? You know, there's some people, and they think, well, I'm just going to depend on the Lord. But my friend, they've never trusted Him. You must put all your confidence in Him. When I was flying out here from the Midwest, a number of weeks ago now, I sat down in that big jet that came out of Denver into Vancouver. I didn't see the pilot or the co-pilot or the engineer. Never did see them. And I settled down and I just sat there relaxed and did a bit of reading as that big 747 made its way at 30-some thousand feet westward. You say, weren't you nervous? Not at all. Nothing to be nervous about. You know, I'm a realist really at heart, and I believe that none of us will go to heaven before our time if we're saved. And God knows the very moment when we leave this world, every one of us. And I had absolute confidence in those men and their ability to fly that aircraft. Well, my friend, that's just a very feeble example of what faith is. You may know that the blood of Christ will cleanse from sin. But I want you to think tonight that that blood, while it's available, it was in that basin. That blood had to be applied. They had to do what God said. Now that's what faith is. You see, faith is just reaching out the empty hand and accepting what God says to be true. That when the Lord Jesus bowed His head in shame upon the tree, wounded, bruised for our transgressions, crowned with a crown of thorns, nailed by hands and feet to Calvary, that precious blood that flowed from that blessed person, there was power in that blood, not only to cleanse, but to cleanse me. Now, my friend, the moment the soul believes, well, that's what faith is. Just understanding that that precious blood that was shed, it was for my sins. God has said it. That's what brings peace to the heart. I wonder, friend, if you ever understood not only that Christ has died, but that that precious blood was shed for your sins. You see, you must be willing to depend on what God said. But I want you to notice something else about the blood. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, it was God that must see the blood. That firstborn son in the land of Egypt, that blood would be sprinkled, and if he was like most firstborn, he would be sure that the father would do what God had said to do, that not only would the lamb be slain, and not only the blood caught in the basin, but that that piece of hyssop, that bunch of hyssop would be dipped in the blood, and it would be applied to the doorpost and the upper lintel. He would be absolutely sure that that was done. But he didn't see the blood when he was on the inside. Listen, friend, you have never seen the Lord Jesus hanging upon a cross. Never. Not with these eyes. You've read about it perhaps in His Word, and in your mind you might try to understand what it must have been, the enormous suffering that the Savior endured. Most of us have tried to know the Savior, to try and enter into that in some little measure, but we have never seen it in these eyes. But it's God that knows and sees and acknowledges that that blood was shed. If he looked down from heaven, he would recognize that the sin question was absolutely settled. And now God comes out and he offers a pardon to the sinner. Ah, friend, listen tonight. God wants you simply to understand that the precious blood of Jesus, it can cleanse you from all your sins. You know, that's what I'm resting on for heaven tonight. Those that are saved in the meeting tonight are resting on the precious blood of Christ and nothing else. There was a dear lady many years ago in Scotland, I think it was. She was on her deathbed. And the doctor said to her, calling her by name, "Have you got all your affairs in order?" She knew that she soon would be gone. "Oh yes," she said, "everything has been arranged. All my affairs are in order." And the doctor was a Christian. And he said to her again, "Have you made any preparation for your soul? What about heaven?" And she looked into the doctor's face with a lovely smile upon her face. She said, "Doctor, I'm resting on the blood of Christ and all its solitary dignity." Oh, what lovely words. To be able to look death in the face and to realize that I'm resting alone on the precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed for sinners, shed for me. Let me ask you, friend, tonight, what is your hope for heaven? What are you depending on? If tomorrow that word would come, you remember so-and-so that was in the gospel meeting last night? They're gone. They're never coming back again. Friend, let me ask you kindly, what are you depending on for heaven? Anything apart from the precious blood of Christ will not do. Oh, friend, listen tonight. Can I remind you again, as I draw this meeting to a close, that at the place called Calvary, when the Savior laid down his life, shed his blood, the Bible tells me, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are your sin a burden tonight? Are you afraid of standing in the august presence of the Lord Jesus as he sits upon the great white throne judgment? Look, friend. Look away by faith to the cross and realize that that precious blood that was shed at Calvary, it was because of your sin. And if you trust the Savior, you'll be in heaven. But you see, in Egypt, God says, from the firstborn of Pharaoh upon the throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, at the midnight hour when the destroyer passed through, God says, there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Far as I can determine from this chapter, while the people of God, God's people Israel, they heeded what Moses said, Pharaoh and his host, they absolutely rejected what God said. From the firstborn of Pharaoh upon the throne to the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon, God says, there was not a house where there was not one dead. Ah, listen, friend, tonight, Why not, in simple faith, take God at His word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, and if you trust Him, you know what He says? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You trust Him, you'll have everlasting life. God help you to trust Him tonight.